I think yoga is the practice of paying attention. On this podcast, Yoga Strong, we talk about what paying attention on the mat, what being aware and being present, whether you're in the studio or out of the studio, or in the kitchen, or with your family, or with your friends, in connection, in your heart, in your head. What does paying attention look like for your life? That's what this podcast is all about. That's what Yoga Strong is about. It's not just strong in your muscles and strong in your movement on the mat. It's strong everywhere. This is Yoga Strong with your host, Bonnie Weeks. Hello. Thank you for being here with me today. I have a question for you. And it is sparked by a Marco Polo conversation I had with my sister. Marco Polo is a video messaging app, and my sister and I, she's 7 years younger than me, we message on it all the time. And it's been a really lovely way to communicate because her and I live far apart. I grew up in Montana, my whole family, we grew up in Montana, and I live in Oregon, and live in Portland, Oregon. And my sister lives in Montana along with the rest of my family. And so it can make, you know, as you might know, living far away from family can be difficult to maintain relationships, but a video messaging app that's not just a text messaging app has allowed for a lot of intimacy. And I am lucky to really consider my sister, not just as a blood sister, but as a chosen person for my life. And the ways that I know I could show up in any version of myself, and she would be there and be able to hold me in that. And that we truly have that relationship of saying, like, hey, I'm showing up in this way right now, or I need this type of being seen. And this is what I'm carrying. And sometimes it'll be a text message and say, hey, do you have space for a phone call right now? I just need somebody to be able to hold me emotionally for a minute. And it becomes a place of processing. And I share this because it reminds me of how important it is to have places to process and to say things that we're trying to figure out. And I am really big. I'm really big on being conscious about gossiping and about how we talk about other people. And I remember back when I was a practicing Mormon, you know, which is about 8 years ago since I've left the church. My sister has also left the church. But as a member of the Mormon religion, otherwise known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the LDS Church, one of the things that is a part of your participation is that you might be assigned to give a talk from the pulpit during sacrament meeting, which is the large meeting that happens on Sundays, and where the person in charge of the meeting is the bishop. And yet there are assignments not for him to speak, but for just people who are members of the congregation. And I remember one time I was given an opportunity to speak, and the topic that I was assigned to speak on was on gossip. And that still to this day is one of my favorite talks I gave, because it's not one of those things that we talk about very much in regards to how it could be good and how it can be done, I want to say wrong, how it can be done hurtfully. So coming to this as a little background, this isn't the question I want to ask you, but this feels important as I talk about my sister and as I reflect even on stories that I might share here on the podcast or in ways that I think about storytelling and owning my story and where does my story end and somebody else's begin, and that it's intermixed, right? So it's important for us to have places where we can process how we're feeling, how we think about things, the words that we use, and our emotions behind them. We are not solo actors. And it can be difficult to find people or perhaps to trust people depending on what prior experiences you've had. It can be very tricky. And I count myself lucky that my sister is one of those people. I have some other people in my life as well, but really, as I sit here and think about it, I think there could be a lot of people that I could show up with in all the different ways. But it takes a certain amount of emotional capacity to then want to reciprocate that, right? And to build this trusting relationship where I know I can show up and say, hey, I'm trying to process this person or experience, and that I can show up and my sister is okay with holding the nuance of maybe she might know those other people, maybe she doesn't, but that she can navigate the holding space for me in my process, because I need to say something out loud and to not judge me if I say something shitty, and to also give me reflection back. And having people in our lives that give us the space to grow, that allow us to show up in and how we are and hold enough space for us to learn from ourselves how we want to continue on in the world. Those people are so freaking valuable. And we need those people. And sometimes we might say stuff about other people because we're trying to process our relationships with other people. And having individuals in our lives that we can trust and say, this day's here. Thank you for showing up for me. And where you have this loving relationship together to really believe in the abundance of each other's hearts. You have to believe in the abundance and the kindness and compassion of each other's hearts. And I have that with my sister. I do have it with some other people as well. But I think that is really an important piece that I really would hope for everybody to have, because we're going to have to learn some shit, y'all. And it's not always going to be very smooth sailing. And it is going to include a lot of crying. There's probably going to be some screaming. There might be a lot of anger. There's going to be frustration. There's going to be the feeling of stuckness and hurt. That will 100% come for every single one of us. And so we need places to process that. We need places where we can show up and somebody else says, is that all you've got? Because loving somebody is knowing where they are vulnerable and protecting that. So me knowing where my sister is vulnerable and the thoughts she's had and the insecurities she had or the relationship she's dealing with, I know exactly where I could hurt her and I protect it. That's what loving somebody is. And so as I think about processing relationships and situations and having these experiences where we learn from and with each other, it is always then in my mind about how I talk about others and relate experiences and adventures and learning from others in a way that shares my process of expansion and how I am learning from it. And so as a public view and as somebody who's a public person, and so many stories here on Yoga Strong. I have so many stories on my other podcast, Sexy Sunday. We're talking more about sexuality and sex stories very explicitly, and it's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of story sharing. So really thinking about how having those relationships where we can process things is important, and the space for abundance. So I just kind of want to give that as an example of gossip and as an example of a place to process things, because I do show up with my sister and process a lot of things, and even talking about her here. And she knows that I'm not perfect. And I know that she's not perfect, because perfect is boring and perfect is nothing. It is nothing. Like, I don't even want to know if you're perfect at something like that. I don't even want to know because that's not interesting. I want to know how you were imperfect. That is way more interesting. And as I speak about her, it is with utmost grace and gratitude. And so with that, this is not a story that is sharing any sort of things about, like, she's not here. We're going to talk more. We've had a couple of podcasts on Sexy Sunday. We have more coming up on that podcast. I'm going to be sharing some more stories about divorce and talking to other people about divorce and love after divorce. So that's more coming on Sexy Sunday, as I will be restarting that podcast this next month. But again, like, this preface for how we speak about others and how that informs how we get to speak about ourselves and how we get to give each other the benefit of the doubt, even when it's really hard. And even when we feel hurt and misunderstood, and even when we might feel angry and frustrated, and it can be difficult. It can be difficult in those times. So my question I want to give you is this. What can I love about right now? And to give you a little bit of backstory, my sister and I were messaging this morning, and yesterday was fall in Montana, where she lives. And this morning, she woke up and there was 9 inches of snow. 9 inches, y'all. That is so aggressive. Like, that's so aggressive. This is why I do not live in Montana anymore. It is beautiful. I miss the giant skies. I miss storms. And this is the way that looks in the sky and the clouds. I miss that. But I do not miss waking up to 9 inches of snow in October, and fall being approximately 2 days long. So this is what she woke up to this morning. And outside her window, she could hear some people, the snowplow people. And one person was saying something like, oh my gosh, so much snow. And the other person said, I love this. I wish I could do this every day. And my sister loves to walk and process and be outside and do the things. And when it's 15 degrees and 9 inches of snow, it's a little bit, it's not impossible, but it's a little bit harder to, you know, go for a couple miles of a walk. It's going to be a different effort. And she paused. And as she was sending me this message and processing things, she said, wait, what can I love about the snow right now? And when I heard her say that, I just paused in my whole body. Because there are things in my own life. I do not have 9 inches of snow, but what is your 9 inches of snow? What's something that's happening in your life or a certain situation you are navigating, a relationship, an experience, a job, a loss, grief? What is it? What is something that you are navigating right now? And there's not always something to love about the snow. I won't put that in air quotes, right? There's not always something to love about that, but you can reframe because there's always more than one thing happening at a time. And where we focus, right, and what we are focusing on, that allows us to, that is going to pull our attention. So where do we want to put our attention? And if we believe that yoga is the practice of paying attention, and if that is impacting us everywhere we go, we get to choose that. So according to my sister, what is something I can love about the snow right now? And when I paused and thought about it, I thought how last night, so this very moment, my lover's dog has been in surgery today, and she's 14. Her name is Franny, and Franny has a growth that's been growing out of her mouth from her gums, and it's been very fast growing since this summer and getting in for appointments and surgery and all the things has taken a bit of time. So today was the surgery finally. And last night she has to have some medication to kind of start prepping for the surgery starting last night. So she's pretty drowsy. But she got up at like 3 a.m. and then up again a little bit after that. And then we were up at 6. And then there was a lot of alarms and a lot of lights. And I kind of feel like I've been awake since 3 a.m., which is not my favorite. And so as I was making my coffee and listening to my sister talk about the snow, I was like, you know what? What can I love about this moment right now? And where that went was thinking about Franny and thinking about how this lover that came into my life a couple years ago, that my kids have had this experience with her as a dog. And when we got the puppy several years ago in 2018, yes, 2018, I got a puppy. She was a Great Dane Weimaraner puppy. And that means that at 90 pounds, she was still a puppy. And when she was a year and a half old, my ex had moved out and I was full-time taking care of the dog. And it was a lot because I was building business. I was trying to figure out how to train a 90 pound puppy. And I end up rehoming this puppy to a, it's funny to call her a puppy. I love her so much. I love that I still get to see her. I rehomed her with a family that's around the corner from me, who I had actually talked to about their Great Dane that they had, at the time too, right at the same time. So she got to go live with and have a dog brother. And it was really a beautiful, like perfect setup. And I helped her find a beautiful home. And I did have to rehome her. And it was this experience that was really hard, like really hard. And just heads up, if you share about rehoming a dog and sending it to its perfect home for it, like, I wish I could have been the perfect home. I wasn't the perfect home. And these other people, they love her. They're so grateful for her. And I have to say that even their older dog, her Dane brother, he died several months, this spring. I don't know how many months ago. I'll just say this spring. This past spring, he died. And they messaged me and we messaged back and forth and shared pictures. And they just reached out and said how grateful they are to have had Millie in their lives, because she's been such a gift, especially as they have lost their other dog. Like, I shared on social media how I rehomed my dog, and it was pretty intense. People have intense feelings about rehoming dogs. And I found the perfect place for her. Like, this was exactly where she needed to be. And such a gift to give and to share that. And I've talked about this on in other podcasts as well, but in this moment, it's pertinent because now I have had Franny, old lady Fran, who I sometimes call Fran friend or girl Fran. So I've had girl Fran. She's been in our lives for those last couple of years, and she's an old lady. She's 14 years old. And today she's been in surgery. And this morning I've been up since 3 a.m. because of her. It's not my favorite. But you know what I love about this moment? Is that my kids got an opportunity to love a dog. And this dog is great because she just is hanging out with me. She's just laying by me, right? And she doesn't need a lot of training. And they have been able to be loved and love a dog. And that's something special. That's different than loving my cat. My cat. I love my cat, but a cat's not a dog. And I think the experience of loving an animal and laying on the floor and cuddling with it, ooh, it's making me emotional. Something different. And as a parent, to be able to gift that feels really good. And so that's what I can love about this moment. And right now, as I am talking about this, I think about some other hard moments that have even been a part of, a part of this past year, a part of this past couple months, moments that have made me cry, moments that have made me angry, moments that have stretched me and expanded me in ways that perhaps I wouldn't have chosen. And even those, especially, you know, with a little bit of space, I'm like, okay, how can I love this snow right now, right? And maybe it's not really snow, but what is it? What is your snow? What is the thing what you can ask this question about? And how does that create in you an openness and an expansion of abundance? Because this is the same conversation of scarcity and abundance anywhere, not just about money, not just about somebody showing up for your yoga class. This isn't about like, this is about everything, scarcity and abundance of seeing what is there versus what is not. And part of that is just this reflection of what can I love about this moment right now? And remembering that we're more than one thing, and there's always more than one thing happening at once. So if you find yourself in a moment right now, maybe there's something that comes right to mind and you're like, oh, it's that. And maybe it feels really hard. And there's something that comes to mind, but it is heavy and sticky and sludgy and is wrapped all in emotions. And I mean, we could all probably like think in just a couple steps and find something that feels maybe a little bit of a grittier texture in us still. So if it feels tricky to name something about that, look a little bit outward. Don't go straight to the center of that thing. Look next to that thing. Is there something else that you can love about this moment? And let that other thing help you and expand you so that maybe you can approach the harder, stickier thing with a little bit more grace. Because sometimes those harder, stickier things are probably going to be situations and relationships with people. They're going to be maybe choices that you're trying to figure out how to make, or maybe there are situations that have been thrust upon you because of certain relationships or experiences or circumstances. And all of them are going to be in your control. And some of them might feel real good to have somebody else to talk through those things with. And in this talk that I gave back in Mormon days, one of the things I said as I was talking about gossip and talking about the situations that feel sticky is to remember to ask the question of why, or holding it in you the whole time, that are we sharing this? Are we saying things to injure or to hurt or to kind of bash, put down another person? And, or are we saying things so that we can process them to figure out how to step forward and move forward? I am so like direction focused. Like, we are facing forward. We are moving forward. And that doesn't mean the things haven't happened. That doesn't mean that they're not affecting us 100%, but I don't want my face that direction. They're there. How can I face forward? And it means that we have to talk about things. And when I think about my conversations about situations and relationships that I'm navigating, I always think, okay, what is the reason here? And how can I use this conversation or my sharing to help propel me so that I can step forward in this? Because I do not want to be in a stuck place. Stuck place does not create ease. And it is not always a fast place to get out of, depending on the situation. But even if you find yourself there, what can you love about anything in that time and place, about today? You could just put the word today. What can I love about today? And on those really hard days where you're like, nothing. Then can you love a warm shower? Can you love a cup of tea? Can you love putting on your shoes and taking a walk outside, maybe not in 9 inches of snow. It doesn't have to be something big to be worthy and valuable of your attention. And can you name it as something that expands you? And recognize how when we are able to acknowledge that perhaps 9 inches of snow is aggressive and sucks, and how I really wanted to go outside and how I really wanted to take that walk, can you recognize how it shifts your energy when you say, ooh, but what can I love about the snow right now? And now my sister said, I am now drinking this tea that I found. And I'm looking at this space I get to live in that I didn't even imagine that I could ever live in. And look at where I get to live. This isn't sugarcoating shit. This isn't trying to say like everything is good. It's just saying that there's more than one thing true at the same time. And your focus gets to be a place where you can practice abundance. That doesn't mean in 5 minutes time you won't be crying or won't feel angry, but that you continually find anchors for yourself and you plant it and you say, what can I love about the snow right now? What can I love about this day right now? Even if I was up at 3 a.m., how can I be grateful for Franny, my sweet dog in my life, who is this old lady who is not going to have a lot of time left? And it shifts things and it makes it softer. It makes it softer. And there's a lot of hard and it's easy to find whatever it is we're looking for. So choose what you want to look for. The other stuff is always going to be there. And at this current moment, as I'm recording this, there's a lot of stuff in the world. There's a lot of loud, hard right now. And so encouragement to you to find those things in those moments where it feels like everything is constricting and pulling in. Find those things. Find those things, even if they're on the periphery, to say, what can I love about this right now? Find those people that you can set things down with so you can keep moving forward, because y'all, this is our life. This is our life. This is mine. This is mine. And I'm here to make a ruckus. Okay, friends. Hand to heart. Thank you for being here with me. I love this moment. I love that we can be hand to heart together. Until next time. Oh.